Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
We're your hosts, Ellen and Kathleen. Welcome back to another Charting Toward Intimacy episode. I'm Ellen.
And I am Kathleen.
And today we're talking about holiness and the fact that holiness is hard. really hard.
Holiness does not come in any easy means.
And we're really going to mostly be talking about like marriage and how like holiness through our vocation of marriage is hard. Obviously there's a ton of other like things that we could talk about with holiness is hard, but this is a podcast about NFP and Catholic sexuality. So we're going to talk about marriage.
Yeah.
Before we jump into this week's episode, I want to tell you about one of our partners, Tighten Your Tinkler. I know, really silly name, but you guys, this is a real and serious program. Tighten Your Tinkler is an at-home pelvic floor therapy program that I have personally used and I love. Jen, one of the creators of Tighten Your Tinkler, was actually on a podcast episode about a year ago. Please go check out that episode. I'm going to link it in the show notes. Here's my experience. After having two kids, I had some pelvic floor dysfunction, like most women. I had some tightening and loosening in different spots. This led to urgency, it led to leaking, and pain with sex. These are all very common, but as I learned when I talked to Jen on the podcast, not normal effects of pregnancy and childbirth. I bought this program and I got started. And 30 days later, I kid you not, 30 days, I had no leaking. Urgency was basically zero. Some symptoms I didn't even realize were from pelvic floor dysfunction cleared up. And best of all, the pain I had with intercourse disappeared. 1 month, you guys. The code CHARTING50 gets you $50 off the program, which gets you lifetime access to it. Please go check it out in the show notes and help yourself.
Okay, so holiness is hard.
Yeah, and I think that as we're like talking about it, we should really probably start with talking about like what is a vocation, right? Like what is the capital V vocation? There's the lowercase V vocation, but the capital V vocation being our God-given mission, right? Typically played out through either religious life or or marriage. And like the whole point of our God-given mission is it's the primary way through which we are made holy. And holiness happens primarily through crosses and self-sacrifice, right?
Like, yeah. So Catechism 2015, not the year 2015, the Catechism paragraph 2015. The way of perfection passes by way of the cross. There is no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle. Okay. Holiness is not sitting in your warm house with the heater on and drinking a cup of tea and reading a spiritual book. That's great.
That sounds lovely.
It sounds lovely, right? But holiness passes by way of the cross. We cannot, like the Catechism says that we cannot become holy without these crosses in our life. And so we've got this society right now that is so big on like easy and saving time and things doing it for us. Like before we started recording, Kathleen and I were talking about how I'm using AI to save time on some of the podcast topics and podcast things that I do, some of the editing in the background. Yeah. And it's awesome. I'm using AI. I'm saving so much time. Like I'm getting better quality content. But like, that's not making me holier.
Right. Honestly, a little bit scary, but.
Well, yeah, but our whole society is so hyper-focused on like making things easier, making things faster, being more productive, like all of those things. And it's like, but it's really important for us to remember as Christians that like live in this secular world, that those aren't things that are going to make us holier. And go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say that honestly, we live in a culture where we feel the entire purpose of life is to maximize pleasure and minimize pain. That is the society we're growing up in. Which is evidenced by a whole slew of you know, cultural immoralities that are just like being preached as gospel today, right? So,
right.
I think that that's a really important thing that to realize, like, how as Catholic Christians, as Christians in general, how are we so? It's the biggest way that we have to be countercultural is by embracing suffering and not constantly trying to just maximize pleasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you get married, you need to go into marriage. I mean, we all talk about, like, you know, the Disney movie Happily Ever After, right? Like just that this is it. Like, it's the end of the movie. You get married and you live happily ever after, right? But no, like, it's the beginning, and our happily ever after does not mean we're 100% happy all the time. If you are getting married,
you know what this reminds me of is Cinderella. They made like a Cinderella 2, like a decade later or something like that. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but I have a 3.5-year-old.
I have.
And I think it's called like Happily Ever After or something like that. I think it's like Cinderella 2, Happily Ever After. And it's just like, it's all these like trials. They're like little, not big issues, but like
sure.
like these trials that she goes through, and it's like that's honestly one of the most honest things ever. Yeah. Is that like happily ever after is not just easy ever after, like
right.
happiness, our beatitude, our human flourishing, like entails ascesis and mortification that gradually lead to living the Beatitudes. Yeah. That's also from Catechism 2015. I don't normally walk around using the words ascesis and mortification.
Yeah, it's not part of your daily vernacular.
Not really. I had to confirm that I was pronouncing it right.
That's hilarious. Yeah, no, but I mean, so in entering into marriage, we have to expect and anticipate trial and difficulty. And I mean, I think most of us can vouch for the fact that we've experienced it in many different facets, right? So I think this is an important part to start talking about, like, how do we experience like perfection, right? Or not,
right.
I shouldn't say
before,
perfection.
Before we jump into that, I just want to like comment on the fact that, so I work a lot in marriage prep. I know you do too, Kathleen. Like the couples that I meet, there is this lack of understanding that marriage is for the other person and for sanctification. It's not for the self, right? And so our couples that are preparing for marriage right now, and like maybe you yourself listening, like have this misunderstanding that marriage is for me, marriage is going to make me happy. And in some ways, yes, the goal of marriage is to get you to human flourishing, but it's not through easy. It's through hard. It's through the cross. The church, the bride goes the way of the bridegroom. The bridegroom died on the cross and then went to heaven, right? So we have to go through the cross. We're recording this like in Holy Week right now.
It's true. Yeah.
So on my mind right now.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like we marry for love, right? Like we get married, we are in love, we talk about love, but like, what does Christ tell us that the greatest love is to lay down your life for a friend, right? Or to lay down your life for the other. So literally within the definition of love is trial and sacrifice.
And with this, I mean, just to like stand on my soapbox for just a tiny bit longer, and then we'll talk about the specific hardships of marriage. But like with this understanding of marriage, the understanding that this is going to lead toward our beatitude, our human flourishing, our happiness, but by way of the cross, and understanding that marriage is not for us, it's for the other, then divorce actually makes zero sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, as soon as things get hard, that's when you know it's sanctifying you. That's when you know you're actually on the right path when things start getting hard in your marriage. Because there was an episode a couple of months ago that Kathleen and I were talking about how your marriage is the battleground of good and evil, your marriage and the marital act itself, which has the capacity to create new life, is the battleground, the like cosmic battle between mm-hmm. good and evil are happening there. And we can always rely on the fact that the battle has already been won, but Satan doesn't know that. He's still fighting. He has no idea, right? And the fact that you in your marriage have the capacity to create life, you have this life-giving capacity, you know, Satan hates that. He absolutely hates it. And so this is going to be a battle, but the battle is worth fighting because it's going to lead to your holiness. God does not allow hardships and evil that are not going, that he can't turn into good.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone hasn't listened to that episode and you're like, wait, what episode was that? It was Valentine's Day. Took a little bit of a different take on Valentine's Day this year.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That was Valentine's Day.
Remember that?
Yeah. I couldn't remember what episode it was.
That was Valentine's Day.
I'll link it in the show notes. Okay.
So yeah.
Hardships.
Let's talk about some hardships, right?
NFT.
Number one. What's the number one hardship that we experience in Catholic
This probably America? Isn't like the number one hardship, but like it's the one we hear the most because we
in
do
my
ministry
marriage,
on
it's
NFT.
The number one. My marriage, it's the number one hardship. I'll be real with you all.
And look, it's not supposed to be easy. Mm-mm. It's not. Nope. Learning it's not easy, right? Like it, I was just teaching a couple that like we got to the third session, which is the final session in the series that I do. And they were like, we still don't understand. Like you've been teaching us for 6 hours now. Like, and I'm like, well, it's okay. That's why we have like 6 months of follow-up.
For sure.
Right. But like learning it's not easy. It's a lot of info that's being thrown at you.
And even observing, like learning your observations, learning how to like interpret your observations, mm-hmm. like that takes practice.
Right.
I mean, it took me like a couple years to realize like the various types of mucus, right? To like actually begin to confidently recognize them.
Yeah. Getting the habits in place, like all of those things, those are hard. Now these are like lower level hardships, right? But
right.
They're still very much hard. And, you know, this is one of the things that I think like people try to get around when it comes to NFP is like, oh, no. Like it's actually pretty simple. And like, yeah, in essence, it's fairly simple what we're talking about when it comes to NFP, as far as like, look, mucus shows fertility. Yeah. Temperature shows progesterone, like, you know, like these are simple concepts, but the thing is like it's not common in our culture to talk about them prior to learning. You know, this isn't something that's taught in junior high or high school during sex ed, which it should be. You know, so learning them from scratch is a lot. And a lot of times I think people think it should be easier. Like the couples that I'm teaching that need to take a class for marriage prep, they're like, I don't understand why this is so hard. Why isn't there like an app that just tells me what to do? Like, you know, so just in the learning aspect of NFP, there's a lot of difficulty.
Yeah. And then there's of course the abstinence piece of NFP.
Right. And that's a totally, that's like,
which has its own
category,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. The like abstaining, and it can be really hard if you, you know, just get married, you're trying to learn like how to even have sex together. But then there's also this, like these windows of abstinence and you're also maybe like still learning how NFP works, right? So maybe you even have more abstinence than is necessary because you're still trying to figure things out. And, even if you're far down the line and you have like difficult cycles or you're postpartum, right? And you have like lots of abstinence. It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy is what we're trying to say. Like the fact that it's hard we should be celebrating that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because it's making us holy.
Yeah.
We are becoming holier in these periods of abstinence.
Yeah.
We're becoming holier when we're like pulling our hair out, trying to figure out, is this mucus like sticky tacky or what qualities does this mucus have?
Exactly. But then, you know, I think piggybacking off of that, right? And especially when you are practicing NFP and you do have all of these like fluctuations in your cycle and periods of abstinence and, you know, not periods of abstinence. It just all like sex in and of itself is hard.
Yeah.
Right. And I think to create an emotionally and physically satisfying sex life is hard.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't come for something as natural as sex. It does not come naturally, right? Like a lot like that actual, again, satisfying on all levels,
for kind of sex for life. Everybody involved,
for everybody, right? Like, it's not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of communication, which in and of itself is hard. Effective communication regarding anything in marriage is hard. Managing money jointly is hard, right? Discernment is hard. Like all of these things that you have that are required, like key elements and components of marriage and family life are hard.
And again, they're not supposed to be easy.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Not yelling at your kids isn't supposed to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your cross, like, I mean, maybe.
How many times did I just yell at my kids this morning before we got on? Stop touching your brother! Stop it! Don't touch each other!
Don't touch each other! You're going to have to play in a different room.
Literally what I said. Yeah.
But it's these things are crosses because they're supposed to be crosses. I think so many times I hear people who are just like, it's not supposed to be this hard. And actually, yeah, it is supposed to be this hard.
It literally is.
Yeah. Literally
I
is.
I say that a lot. I do say that a lot. It's not supposed to be this
hard. Right? I say it too. Oh my gosh. No, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I was like, oh shoot.
You're like, oh wow. Yeah, wait. Ooh.
I need to check myself. Right. But I mean, I've done that. I've been like sitting on the kitchen floor after like something really frustrating happened with the kids and just kind of like yelling out to God, like, you know, what is going on here? It's not supposed to be this hard. And it, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Like, oh, guess what?
Guess what? You know, and that doesn't mean we're supposed to just sit back and like let the hard things happen without doing anything about them. Like, yeah.
Well,
if there's ways that you can, you know, mitigate the hardness, right? Take like just parenting and what we're talking about, like with yelling at the kids or whatever. Like there's books, there's classes, there's courses, right? You can work toward making those things easier. But again, like you work toward it. You put in effort, and work is not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. And so like, you know, it's not that you just have to like sit back and go, okay, my life is hard and it's just going to be hard. Which is true, but like you should be actively engaging in the hardness and going, okay, how can I grow in holiness in this time? And what does my growth look like for me? Like I was just having a conversation with my spiritual director about something really similar. And she was just kind of like, yeah, like this is something really hard for you, but like maybe your path to holiness through it is actually through like taking some classes in it, right? Or like getting some books and like reading and learning and growing. Like maybe it's not just white knuckling it and like trying to do it yourself, which was very eye opening.
Yeah, no. And I think, have you ever heard the phrase, work like it all depends on you, but pray like it all depends on God?
I haven't heard that phrase, but I like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you're absolutely right. Like we do need to engage. We need to work to perfect ourselves, to sort of like make, you know, to get to a point where things are feeling easier, you know, in whatever these hardships are. But at the same time, like a lot of the times in those hardships, God is like drawing us closer to Him.
Yep.
He's like allowing us to experience hardships so that we come to rely more on Him.
Yes, exactly.
Which is another really important thing, right? Yeah. Read the books, do the classes, but don't forget to pray.
Yes.
Like, don't forget to take it to God, right? Like, all of those things are good. But if we're doing all of those things without consulting Christ, right? Like, without going to God for it and asking Him for the grace and the help to persevere and to find the answers and to make it through. I mean, you might just want to work on that. I don't know.
Right.
Again, you know, work like it depends on you, but pray like it depends on God. It's like a both and. We need both of those things.
I love that. I really like that a lot.
Yeah. But you know what else is really hard? Pregnancy is really hard.
Yeah.
Right. Pregnancy and birth are really hard. Right. Like I swear that
it's called labor.
It is called, called labor. Yeah.
Not saying here that like there's anything wrong with like medication or like getting an epidural or like
no,
that's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about just the hardness that everyone goes through. Like you don't, everyone. In order to be holy, you don't have to have a natural birth.
Right.
I mean, maybe you do, right? Like I think that's very dependent on the person.
And wherever God's calling you, right?
Right. Exactly.
What He's calling you to experience.
And maybe in fact, the hard thing for you is accepting that you can't do it on your own.
Yeah,
that was my lesson. Which
that
my
was
first.
Very hard for me. Yeah,
I'm not strong enough to do this on my own.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, you know, and I think I don't know. Such a cool point is that I forget where I heard it, but women are closest to Christ in that we are closest to God in the sense that we can create in such a physical way, that we have such an important role in like the physical creation. But it also makes sense then that we are closest to Christ in like the giving of our literal bodies, right? Mm-hmm. Like for labor, for birth, for breastfeeding, like we literally, this is my body given up for you, right? And I will never forget 2 C-sections, right? Like being laid down, like on my back, arms out to my sides in the form of a cross and being like, wow, this is literally what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like women especially get out, they're so closely united to Christ in their physical calling as mothers and through pregnancy and birth. It's like an uncanny similarity. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, definitely. Well, also, and the similarity of like the way of the cross being labor and then delivery being, you know, new life is born, right?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. we have this way of the cross and resurrection happening.
Yeah. Like built into our very beings.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
It's wild. But you know what? All of that as well, like kind of like going back to like NFP and all this kind of stuff. I want to talk about accepting children as also can also be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Not for everybody, right? Like not everybody finds themselves in the situation. And again, this is like where our vocations and our calling are so unique to each person and to each marriage and each couple. But for some people, finding out you're pregnant again can be really hard.
Mm-hmm. Right? It can be devastating.
It can be devastating. It could be like, Lord, I thought you had me. Like you could end up in a darkness from that, right? Mm-hmm. Which again is like the way that God is drawing us closer to Him when we are in those moments of just like, I don't know what else to do. And I really feel like I cannot go any further. I cannot do any more. And God says, come to me, like all of you who are weary and burdened, right? And I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. I will take you know, whatever the, I forget, I was like about to send out a good Bible quote and then it just like left my brain as I was about to say it.
I'm just thinking, like, anyway, you know, like my yoke is easy and my burden light, right? Like yes, if we yoke yes, ourselves yes, yes. to Jesus,
to
if
Christ,
you, yeah. you know, if you think about what a yoke is, it's two oxen that pull a plow. If one yeah. oxen is trying, it's actually almost impossible for one oxen to pull a plow. But if you yoke the second one, like it becomes actually relatively easy for the two oxen to pull the plow. So if we yoke ourselves to Jesus, bring that burden, right there,
yeah.
then he makes it carryable, right?
Carryable. Yes.
But yeah, like accepting children can be hard, like especially in accidents or like when it's like relatively unplanned, you know, when it's sort of like, well, yeah. we like mostly want to avoid, but like we want to have sex right now and we're going to come together. And then it's like, oh shoot.
Yeah.
But then like accepting children can also be hard even when it's planned, because pregnancy and childbirth are not easy, right? Like both of the kids that I have right now, like there's like a sink sometimes when you see the positive pregnancy test of like, oh my gosh, I have to go through this work, right?
When you realize it's like the way, it's like staring the way of the cross ahead of you.
Uh-huh.
Right?
You see it coming.
You know what's ahead.
You're in the Garden of Gethsemane when you see that positive pregnancy test.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know the good that's going to come out of it too. And like Jesus knew the good, right? But he was like, oh my gosh, like I don't want to do this.
I don't want to do this. Literally saying, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me.
Like,
right?
Please.
Like actually begging God to take it away.
Right.
Yeah. And so like, I think this is a really good thing to kind of talk about, because I know for myself, for people, like friends that I have, we have felt this guilt over having that feeling sometimes, right? Like being like, oh my gosh, here's another positive pregnancy test. I know the good that's ahead, so I shouldn't be feeling this way. I shouldn't be like feeling this like sort of dread and this disappointment and this like burden. But I do. And then you beat yourself up for that guilt, like for feeling that way. But it's really good to like really think about this and realize Christ literally did the same thing, right? He yeah. knew the life that was going to come from his bodily sacrifice. And it's truly like the greatest thing in the world, the life that was going to come from it, right? But he still asked God to take it away.
Yes.
Right? Like that's a huge consolation, I think,
for
many of us.
You know, Jesus saw the work ahead. He saw how hard it was going to be. He wanted it taken away, right? He asked God to take it away, but he did it, right? And that's where we are as we close out this episode. Like in any one of the hardships that we come across in our marriage, or really just anywhere in our life, but we're definitely focused on marriage in this episode, is it's okay to not want it to be hard, right? It's okay yeah. to, it's okay to ask God, like, please take this hardship away. But if it's not taken away, then we got to do the work. You got to roll your sleeves up and you yoke yourself up to Jesus and you go for it and you follow the way of the cross through to the resurrection. Because when you work on these things, when you work on NFP and you learn it, it becomes easier. When you work on abstinence and communication, it becomes easier and it becomes better and more life-giving, right? Abstinence yeah. can become a gift in your marriage if you allow it to, and if you do the work and the way of the cross through to it. You know, discernment can become such a gift. Parenting can become such a gift. Pregnancy, children, right? Children are a huge gift.
Huge.
But, you know, we got to stop just like saying, wow, it just shouldn't be this hard. And like, accept, okay, yeah, you know what? This is hard. Lord, I don't want this to be so hard. If it's your will, take it away from me. If it gets taken away, awesome. It was God's will, right? You trusted in the Lord. But I would say probably the majority of the time, it's not going to be taken away because that is there for your sanctification and for mm-hmm. your path to holiness.
Yeah.
So take up your cross. Follow him.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.